fighting for America.
Today, we celebrate our Independence Day.
Fighting for Idaho.
We hold these truths to be so evident that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Fighting for you.
You ask me why I love her? I have a million reasons why. My beautiful America, beneath God's wide, wide sky.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the morning.
Happy 4th of July.
On 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
And good morning, Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Phone numbers 580-5436, 580-5436. We are so blessed, so happy to be with you at 580 KIDO. And I know a lot of folks are saying, Kevin, we got a lot of issues to talk about. We're done with you and your shenanigans about the soccer. The soccer is done. And whether we had 500, 100, or 1,000 people show up at the Grove yesterday, it's over. And I am just amazed at the folks on social media. I just wanted to pull a Harley Brown and go, na 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 na, na 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 na. Soccer's done. And despite all the folks showing up, the U.S. just couldn't make it happen. Hey, congrats to the goalie there, Tim Howard. He did an excellent job. But again, it's the world sport. And I think it really comes down to this. Are we a global society or are we a nation that defends its laws, defends its borders, defends everything else? That's what it really comes down to, right? That's what it really comes down to here at 580KIDO. So we'll take your thoughts on the soccer, what happened, what didn't happen, and why. And, you know, as we get ready for the holiday weekend, people say it's slow. I don't really think that it can be slow. I don't think that we can really afford to take any time off. Think about the crisis at the border. Think about all these folks coming into this country. Think about whether or not our government is actually doing anything about it. I mean, I guess we're blessed because the illegal alien invasion hasn't hit Idaho like it has in parts of Arizona, like it has in other places around the country. I mean, you've heard the stories of the buses and, you know, filled with these folks and states saying we don't want them. We can't handle them. And nothing goes on. The president of the United States says, well, I'm going to do what I'm going to do. Now, I like to joke. I did, but I said anybody that voted for the president, really, you just take a look at his performance, should have their voting card taken away, right? Think about that. Joining us now, our friend Steve Camerota from the Center for Immigration Studies. Steve, good morning.
Good morning.
You know, Steve, I've talked to you for, you know, the majority of my years on the radio, coming up to 20. Have you ever thought in your vast experience that you'd ever see what's happening on the borders here in our country?
I think that in some ways it's predictable. Many people said, look, even just talking about having an amnesty for illegal immigrants would encourage a lot more illegal immigration. Certainly our previous amnesty back in 86 caused a big surge in illegal immigration, and there's every reason to think that if we actually had one, that would happen. But even just today with modern communication and so forth, just the talk of it, including the professors, including the president's administrative amnesties that he's already implemented, clearly are helping to drive a lot of people to the U.S. border.
Well, you've studied this, both legal and illegal immigration. Give us your thoughts on the future of the country and, you know, what's actually happening to us.
Well, I think that obviously legal immigration is very high to the United States. Over a million new people are allowed in to settle in the country permanently each year. 500,000-600,000 new guest workers of various kinds are allowed into the country as well. And one of the things that's actually happening in the United States is that as more and more immigrant workers are brought in, the fraction of Americans who are of working age, that is, say, 16 to 65, who actually work, has been declining now pretty steadily, and we've also had very flat or declining wages as well. Now, obviously, employers tend to like this situation with no wage growth and a lot of workers to choose from, but I do think we've seen a lot of negative consequences with this kind of rise of non-work and the erosion of the middle class.
Well, and I think Senator Sessions has the best argument, never mind the cultural issues, never mind everything else, about immigration reform when he says, look, we've got Americans in this country that we can't give jobs to that are unemployed. We're going to bring in a bunch of low-wage folks, make them legal, and all of a sudden the employment situation is going to be even more dire.
Right. What we can say is that the last, say, 14 years, 2000 to 2014, there are at least 17, more like 18 million new immigrants, legally and illegally, came and settled in the United States. And during that time period, I know it sounds amazing, there has been no net employment growth among the native-born. In other words, the number of native-born people holding a job in 2000 is slightly more than the number in 2014. But, of course, the native-born population of working age grew a lot. So we now have about 17 million more people in the United States who are native-born of working age not working compared to 2000. We just had this explosion of working-age people not working.
So how does this play into the strategy of the administration? And first of all, Steve Camerota, is there a big difference between the Obama policy on immigration and the Bush policy?
Well, at least partly because they were trying to demonstrate that they had taken enforcement seriously, because obviously President Bush very much wanted an amnesty for illegal immigrants as well. They did in some ways engage in some more robust enforcement, and they never took all their latitude and simply said, we're not going to enforce the law on whole categories of people. Remember, the Obama administration, this is part of the reason so many unaccompanied minors are coming to the border, is that they have said anybody who arrives under the age of 16, we are not going to be enforcing the law on them. That is, we will give them work authorization, we will instruct the Immigration Service not to deport them, and that it's called DACA, Deferred Action for people who arrive as minors. But so that policy of saying we're not going to enforce the law on millions of people is not something the Bush administration did. However, it is true that the Obama administration, like the Bush administration, pretty much for much of the time ceased going after employers who hired illegal immigrants.
Stephen Camerota with us, Kevin Miller in the Morning, 580KIDO, Center for Immigration Studies. Tell us about your group and whether or not you've taken any flack for telling the truth about what's happening to us as far as immigration.
Well, I think that my group is the Center for Immigration Studies. All of our publications are for free at CIS, like Center for Immigration Studies abbreviated, CIS.org. Certainly, the way immigration plays out is that immigration creates both benefits and costs for the United States. And if you point out the benefits, then you're hailed, and the media is very pleased with you. But if you point out some of the costs, well, that's just not something that much of the media is interested in. And so you do get called names sometimes if you point out any of those costs, job competition, use of welfare, national security issues associated with crime. There is some of that. That's true. But it's still important to do it because I think the public senses that there are costs and benefits, and I think there's some frustration that some of the negative impacts are seldom, if ever, discussed.
Well, let's talk about some of the factors that are pushing this. Obviously, the Chamber of Commerce, other folks, do they not see the consequences of people coming in on the education system, on the medical system, on the financial system?
I think they do, but remember, those costs are diffuse. If I'm an employer and I want a worker and I can get one for the $9 an hour that I want, and you as the taxpayer have to pay for the students and the health care in the form of Medicaid or the free school lunch and the WIC and all the other programs, well, those costs are borne by everyone. But I get the narrowly focused benefit of the particular worker I want. And in politics, and this is why we get so much immigration, the narrowly focused benefit typically trumps the cost if it's diffuse. And even if the cost that's diffused is bigger than the narrowly focused benefit, the narrowly focused benefit still comes out on top politically.
Well, and again, we see both parties trying to embrace the legalization of the illegals. Why do the Republican Party, where's the social conservatives in this? Where are the people that are saying, hey, we don't need new laws to enforce our borders. We need to enforce the existing ones right now.
Well, what pushback there does come from the leadership of both parties wanting to legalize illegal immigrants. And remember, the bill that passed the Senate last year actually doubled legal immigration from 1 million to 2 million a year. And the pushback, such as it is, that comes from it mostly does come from conservatives, but it's mostly conservative rank and file. The leadership of conservative movement is more divided. Now, it's true that people like Ann Coulter or Rush Limbaugh or Mark Levin and others have pushed back a lot on this stuff. So that it wouldn't be fair to say that the Republican Party or conservatives haven't pushed back, but the leadership of the party is very captive to the perspective and interests of business, particularly like the Chamber of Commerce and the Business Roundtable and the Home Builders and Hotel and Restaurant Association. And so they tend to respond to that partly because those groups tend to give a lot of money.
Well, and that's the idea. I mean, we're talking about folks on the radio and on television, but where besides, I guess, Steve King of Iowa, is there anybody else saying, hey, no amnesty now, no amnesty forever?
Well, I think like Senator Jeff Sessions from Alabama, right. I mean, he is up for re-election this year, and no one's disputing that what he's saying on immigration is that, look, we need a more go-slow approach, that that we have not created enough jobs in the last 14 years to absorb the number of immigrants we've allowed in. There's no reason to think we will in the next 10 years. So why keep immigration maybe at this level? Why have an amnesty? Why encourage more illegal immigration? So there are a few sort of voices in the wilderness, but you're certainly right that if you'd like to see robust.
All right, we'll get back to Stephen Camerata in a minute. Hopefully that wasn't the NSA. Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Let's get you to work safely.
On Hannity, weekday afternoons at 3 on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Stephen Camerata with us from the Center for Immigration Studies. Talking more about the crisis on the border. Is there any sanity out of this? The president saying, well, I'm going to spend $2 billion. What would that $2 billion do?
Yeah, I mean, I think the only way you're going to have to stop it is if you make clear that you're going to detain people and send them back as quick as possible. Now, we happen to have some very foolish laws that are not the president's fault with regard to how to deal with minors. Nonetheless, he's exacerbating the problem. Basically, the way it works is that if you show up at the U.S. border unaccompanied and you claim to be under the age of 18, you get all these protections. They'll give you a lawyer. They promise not to put you in detention, or at least for a very short period of time. They try to parole you to a relative or someone in the United States. And all of this is encouraging people to come, because if your parents are here illegally, you show up at the border as a minor, then they'll give it to your parents, even if your parents are in the United States illegally. All of that has got to cease. You cannot turn the children over to a parent or someone who is here illegally. We've got to make that clear. If you want to get your kid, then you have to leave the country with your kid. But a very large fraction of these people are coming as family units, a mom and several kids, or a mom and dad and several kids. Them you can detain and deport the whole family, or use another procedure. It's expedited removal or various things like that. So you could do that. And any family unit you could send back immediately. If you're not going to be sending people back immediately, everybody realizes that they're very likely to stay permanently, that we're not going to be enforcing the law on them. And if that continues, people are going to keep coming. It's sort of like anything else. If you tell people that you're not going to be enforcing the law, you're just going to get a lot more law breaking.
Well, I mean, here at 580KIDO, is this coincidence that we're getting flooded wave after wave, that people have the talking points? They seem to know the law better than the folks actually patrolling the border?
No, I don't think it is. I mean, whenever you have, immigrant social networks can tend to be very efficient. That's why a large number of immigrants come to the United States and find jobs very quickly. That's why welfare use, on the other hand, is very high in immigrant communities, because the networks kind of disseminate the information very effectively. And in this case, the weaknesses in the immigration system have become well known, and that's why people show up and are able to game the system in this way. So I think that, it may seem strange, gosh, how would welfare system so effectively, but
we're losing your phone there again.
Can you hear me?
We can hear you now, yeah, but you're going to have to start all over again.
Oh, okay. Well, I think it may be surprising sometimes, but the fact of the matter is that that immigrant social networks tend to be very efficient when it comes to information. It's why immigrants have a lot of success finding jobs in the United States. It's why welfare use tends to be high in immigrant communities as well. I know you wouldn't think those two things go together, but they do. It's because information disseminates pretty well in immigrant communities, and that's why people have come, even in other countries, to know our immigration laws so well and how to beat them.
Well, how scary is the border?
Well, I think right now the border is a chaotic place. It's a place where the Border Patrol is overwhelmed, partly because, as I said before, if you encounter an unaccompanied minor or minors in general, you have to jump through a lot of hoops. It's different than just a 25-year-old man, you catch them. It's a very different situation. So the Border Patrol is kind of overwhelmed. It's certainly making it easy for anyone else who wants to sneak into the United States, as the Border Patrol is, in a word, very distracted. So I would say that it's a bad situation, and it's not likely to get better for quite some time. There are about 10 million minors or people under the age of 18 in Central America, so folks can keep coming for a long time unless they get the message that they're going to be turned back and we're going to send them back very quickly. People are going to keep coming, and that would require a different administration with a different approach. And actually, it would also be extremely helpful to reform certain misguided aspects of our law.
What would you recommend?
Oh, I think that, first off, any family unit that you catch at the border, you have to detain them and fly them back to their home country very quickly. If there's an adult present, the problems of what to do with an unaccompanied minor don't apply. In terms of the unaccompanied minors, you have to respect the law, but about all the protections that they have, but I still think we could detain a much larger fraction, particularly the older ones, because most of the unaccompanied ones are not 6 or 10. They're mostly people 16 and 17, and in fact 18, 19, 20, claiming to be under 18. I think we can detain some of those for a while, try to identify the country they're from, and send them back. Do not turn them over to any person in the United States who's here illegally, things like that. I think you could probably deter things in the future, but changing how the law is interpreted or the actual law, that 2008 law that I mentioned about all those rights that an unaccompanied minor has and the right basically not to be detained and so forth, that's got to change. You're going to have to detain folks. Now, you have to do it in a humanitarian way. You have to respect people. You have to treat them professionally. But if we don't do that, this flow is going to continue for quite some time.
Who's fighting for us in Washington? Besides Senator Sessions and Representative King?
Yeah. In terms of the interests, say, of American workers on this issue, or in terms of sort of defending American sovereignty and so forth, you know, it's few and far between, unfortunately. Even someone like Raul
Labrador,
you know, the senator from Labrador from Idaho, you know, he has opposed certain aspects of the amnesty, but he very much wants to increase legal immigration, maybe even double it. His concerns have to do with how you implement an amnesty. So even someone like that who has been a thorn in the administration's side, it would be wrong to say that he's, you know, someone who sees the cost. Remember, I mentioned before, there are lots of people celebrating the benefits of immigration, and there clearly are benefits, and no one's talking about the cost or the Americans hurt. And I would have to say he's not someone who talks very much about the cost.
Well, and he's tried to propose the guest worker program, and Stephen, we've had you on before. We've had your colleague Mark on before about this. Could you expose the failed, flawed thinking of the guest worker program, that we don't have enough smart people in America?
Well, both sides, right? I mean, there's guest workers. They want to bring in folks for unskilled workers. Basically, wage growth at the bottom end of the labor market in the United States is basically zero. In fact, real wages have generally declined for jobs like nannies, maids, busboys, construction labor, that sort of thing. We have a record, an absolute record number of people with relatively little education not working. Now, we have over 25 million people in the United States who are native-born, have no education beyond high school, who are of working age, not working. So we have a kind of surplus of unskilled labor. So a guest worker program for unskilled jobs makes no sense. At the high end, let's look at STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math. There, you can study the wages for the last 14 years. Wage growth is relatively flat there. They have experienced slight increases in wages, but nothing like you would expect if there was an actual shortage. In terms of putting out STEM workers, we graduate 2 to 3 times more STEM workers, or STEM degree holders, I should say, every year than there actually are STEM jobs. So, and the lack of wage growth is another indication that there's just no shortage of STEM workers in the United States. Now, if you wanted some very narrowly focused program for some very high-skilled people, okay, maybe that makes sense. But the idea that we just don't have enough programmers to work at Microsoft or scientists to do some research at universities, there is zero evidence for that. And that's just not me saying it. There is a plethora of research out there showing the same thing.
Well, what scares me, and not to go Pat Buchanan on you, but I will, it's the great betrayal of the American worker.
It does seem like that. The other big area where it has a lot of impact is that the new immigrants overwhelmingly tend to be Democrats. They tend to agree with the Democratic Party on issues like the size and scope of government. So one of the reasons the Democrats tend to put the interest of workers second when the issue of immigration comes up, it's just basically that it's so good for them politically in terms of shifting the national electorate towards voters who tend to want a more progressive agenda, whether it's question, you know, we do all this survey research on Asian and Hispanic immigrants or even U.S.-born Asians and Hispanics, and very strongly they like Obamacare. They say they'd rather have a government that does more and spends more rather than a government that does less and spends less. And so what it's doing to the country is shifting the national electorate to the left. And look, people have a right to vote. They become citizens. That's the fair system. But you can't look away and say immigration isn't a boon for a progressive policy agenda. Clearly it is. And everybody who does research on it agrees with that. The only people in denial about that are some of the people who run the Republican Party.
Yeah, I was going to say everybody knows that they're going to vote for the Democrats. And you're a nonpartisan group, but it strikes me as funny that the dummy Republicans want this to happen because, again, these folks come from big government places where they don't have the rights that they have here in this country. Finally, any dangers with the cartel in all this? The cartels and
it's probably making this crisis at the border right now is making it easier for drug smuggling and the cartel to get their people into the country, the Mexican drug cartels. But remember, they're very well established in the United States already, so it would be a mistake to somehow think this is a qualitative difference. Yeah, it makes things worse, but they were pretty bad to begin with.
Stephen Camerato, it's been a while, but we appreciate your time, and thank you, sir.
Thanks for having me.
All right, Stephen Camerato there at 580KIDO. We apologize for the phone problems, but we're working hard each and every day to give you the best guests, the best information accurately and fairly each and every morning. Kevin Miller, 580KIDO.
We trust every morning. Kevin Miller, 580KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
It's a heartache.
For the second straight World Cup, Team USA's run ends in the round of 16.
Belgium is a winner, and for the United States, a great effort in the end, but not enough once they went down by 2.
I think we just ran out of time.
You got to give him credit for coming back when it was 2-0 and not giving up.
All right, 580KIDO, great job, Ray and Maya. A heartache for all of the folks that teamed up and got together. And it's interesting that we take a look at soccer. Now, and look, if I try and mislead you or something like that, please call me out. But one thing that I try not to be is a big phony. I just don't like the big phonies. Can we all pretend now not to be experts on soccer? Now, you've got a lot of great young kids that love soccer, that are amazed about soccer, that are great at soccer, and I hope that colleges around the country do not bring in European players or players from other countries just so their teams can do better. And we see this here in Idaho. It's the latest thing. You get European athletes, you get Australian athletes, and they take scholarships that, in my opinion, belong to Americans. You know, we just did an hour and a half on immigration here at 580KIDO. But colleges and college athletes should be for Americans, right? I mean, if you want to go to college in your own country, great. Get a scholarship in soccer or basketball or what have you. Don't take the American scholarships. And that's one of the problems that we have in soccer today. One of the school that I graduated from, the University of Akron, it's in Ohio. Believe it or not, it's a soccer power. That's right, top 10, top 5 in the country. And what they do and what they've done for years is they bring in the foreigners, the people from other countries, because they're better soccer players. And quite frankly, Belgium had an off day. What is it, 18 shots on goal, 16 Tim Howard defended? Heck, I even watched it for a while. And I think this is a great game when there's nothing else on. But let's stop from the Today Show to all the other local media, dare we call them jabronis, dare we call them slappies, dare we call them the socko sycophants. At least here we tell the truth and say we're not experts. We're not going to tell you that we know anything about it after reading USA Today that, well, you know, Klinsmann's got to do this. Enough. 2 more weeks and it's college football media days. It's time to celebrate. Actually, it's time to do that honey-do list. It's time to go on vacation and then get ready for the real football season. College football. That's what I think. And by the way, remember when I said that soccer was a socialist sport? And I have this on the Kevin Miller Facebook. I have this at 580KIDO's Facebook. That according to the Washington Examiner and YouGov.com poll published just days ago, that liberals love soccer. YouGov.com reports that 35% of liberals, 34% of moderates, and just 27% of conservatives are watching the World Cup. So when my friend Phil Hardy says, you don't love America, I do love America. I think America's great. But I'll tell you the team that I cheer for much more than any other sports team, and that's our troops. And instead of cheering for the 11 guys that get paid lots of money to do that World Cup, my thoughts, my prayers, my views are on those 500, at least that's the reported number, that are in Iraq, that the thousands that are still in Afghanistan. And as we pointed out on social media, because, you know, we can talk about illegal immigration and whatever, but the social media conversation yesterday went raged all day long. All day long on soccer. And by the way, a great comment from Jeremy, the world can have it. And it would be nice to sit here and go like everybody else is going to do, but we didn't get into this business. This show is not like the everybody else is going to do show. We could just play this.
Beautiful day, not too hot, not too cold. Lemonade, some kettle corn, soccer in the big screen. Let's have some fun all the way.
You got to watch the game. I'm sure productivity in the U.S. is awful right now.
It's the most patriotic thing I've ever seen.
This is actually my first.
The most patriotic thing I've ever seen. That guy needs to have some instant constitution lessons. That guy needs to have some corporal punishment. That guy needs to understand where his priorities are. Sports are great. Sports are wonderful. Heck, we have Phil Hardy talking about listening to sports on his way in here as we're supporting and promoting his event. But sports is not a great distraction when it comes to the priorities of America. You got the border, you got the taxes, and people go, Kevin, I want to be inspired. What is more inspirational than Independence Day? What is more inspirational than critical thought? What is more inspirational to know that you are not alone?
First watch party. I'm coming from the Naval Academy. It's one of the single greatest things I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, my God!
This World Cup gave a good example of what soccer is in the United States. It's only going to grow. We're only going to get better.
I think we just ran out of time.
You know, we hear that every 4 years. This year they're going to do it. This year. But again, I'm proving my point here at 580-5436, 580-5436. First of all, you've got the libs and the moderates loving soccer. The conservatives, not so much. You've got an incredible game, but let's face it, this is what front page of the paper. Everybody down there going, yes, Boise cares, Boise cares. I'd love to see much more of a community involvement about real life issues. And I know that's a pipe dream. Because, look, real life issues are painful. Real life issues require thought. Real life issues require sacrifice. And, you know, again, getting back to this World Cup thing, I could have said, well, I don't understand. I do. I coached soccer, indoor soccer, for my brother's team. I coached it. I've been around those guys. They're great. They're fun. But let's end the propaganda.
But they show what the true heart of the United States of America is all about.
Next year, our next World Cup, Russia, USA is going to win.
Sure. But in reality, this was a propagated event that the masses enjoyed as a welcome distraction from the boring baseball season and the not-so-fast NASCAR season yet. By the way, in contrast, here's what's going on in California.
We have enough issues here. We have our own veterans. We have homeless mothers. We have a lot of people living on the streets in L.A. We need to take care of these people first.
Coming up, do we take care of ourselves or the world? And your thoughts on soccer. Did you enjoy the game, or are you like me? And don't be afraid to tell the truth. You'll not be ridiculed. You'll not be made fun of. You'll not be called out of touch. You'll be given a warm reception here with good old K. Millie about your truth, your true thoughts about soccer. Are you like me? Hey, we'll be seeing you 4 years from now. Take your little soccer ball and your propaganda and boot that down the road. Or are you like other folks, like our friend Mr. Hardy, like Kathy, like others that have, given me the pro soccer propaganda? 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Coming up next, soccer and America. What should we take care of first? I'll explain. Let's get you to work safely and
on Hannity, weekday afternoons at 3 on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Phone number is 580-5436. Those of you that love the Megyn Kelly, she's getting all the big interviews. You know, I don't know, it seems kind of disingenuous to me that we have Megyn Kelly, allegedly the best thing going on Fox News. She's cosmetically appealing. She's intelligent. She's like the it thing. And to me, I really don't get it. I don't understand it. But an interesting interview she had with the terrorist Bill Ayers. Only in America could you sit back and have a former terrorist, a man who has killed people, a man who has bombed people, a man who has taken arms against this country, now have a job teaching college students. I can't wait to figure out what those little bundles of energy are going to come up with.
Can't quite imagine putting a bomb in a building today, but you can't imagine entirely dismissing that possibility either. What would it take to make you bomb this country again?
Well, what would it take you to bomb this country again? Mr. Ayers? Dr. Ayers? Professor Ayers? Do you apologize for your terrorist activities? Or would you bomb again, sir?
What I, you know, you're taking that sentence in a funny way, but what I'm saying is, it seems so long ago. What I'm saying in that passage is, it seems so long ago and so far away, like another world. On the other hand, as violent and nuts as we can be as a country, I can't completely say no, I would never, ever rise up in opposition in a very militant and serious way. I can't say I wouldn't. I doubt it. I'm 70 years old, so it's unlikely, but... But I think that I wanted to say there exactly what Bernadine said on tape, which is, no, I'm not committed to nonviolence as an ideology, and frankly, neither are you, because we live in the most violent society around, and we commit war crimes day in and day out, and often as a matter of policy, and yet that seems perfectly fine with you.
Bill Ayers.
There you have it. A hard-hitting interview there with Bill Ayers. Now, imagine if somebody who was a little bit more to the right of Mr. Ayers would say those things. I'm sure the FBI, I'm sure the CIA, I'm sure the NSA would put them on the list. I'm sure Lois Lerner would be investigating Dr. Ayers. Can you believe this? Crazy. Kevin Miller in the morning here, 580 KIDO. Let's get back to... 6:59, Kevin Miller in the morning. Coming up next, one of our favorite guests ever, David Ferdinand on God and Country. No, not the thoughts, the festival. What's happening tonight? Don't miss it. Serving Emmett, Idaho.